This episode is brought to you by Habit Aware. My Keen 2 brings awareness to my trichotillomania by giving my wrist a gentle hug or vibration when I'm doing the scanning behavior. Bring awareness into your life by visiting barbaralally.com/habitaware and use code LALLYLOVE for 10% off. Ashley, tell me a little bit about you and your BFRBs.
My BFRBs, let's see. Should I just start rattling them off? Okay, nail biting, skin picking, hair pulling, hair eating, skin eating, compulsive nose picking. There you go. Ooh, that's a good one. That's one that nobody ever wants to talk about. But when I actually spoke about it, it was a women's ADHD support group. I posted in there and kind of listed my own. And all of these people just started coming out of the woodwork. Oh, it was a women's group, so I guess everyone was just like, yeah, I have this. And this woman said, I come from a long line of nose pickers. And I was like, wait, what? A long line of, what do you mean? She's like, my mom, me, my daughter, my granddaughter. And I was like, wait, what? I wasn't expecting that answer, but something that I do to combat that is I would actually cause a lot of nosebleeds. So for me, it's a sensory issue. So when I breathe in and breathe out, that is usually how I check. That is me checking to see if there is anything that needs to be removed, that needs to be taken away, because it bothers me. I can't move on with my day. It's interfering with what I'm trying to do. So I to combat that, I have saline solution everywhere I go. I have neti pots. I have a porcelain one. I have a plastic one. I have all different kinds and distilled water. And it's helped tremendously, not only with allergies, but with just keeping things clean in there and not having to go in and remove something that's bothering me, because then that causes damage. My first BFRB was probably nail biting. I didn't know anybody else who bit their nails as bad as I did. So I would always, whenever I put my hand on a table, my fingers would always be curled under because I never wanted to show them. Never wanted anybody to see. And then I started to pull my hair when I was about 6, is when I just started to get homework sent home with me. And I was in the basement alone, and I would kind of be just fiddling with my hair. And eventually, I pulled some strands out. And then I noticed that one was different, and I was hooked, and I couldn't. It just then became a habit. Every time I was doing my homework, that was what I did until I was done my homework. So at first, it was just during that homework time, and then it escalated from there. Just over time, it just started to build and build and build, and it just became something that was comforting. It didn't hurt me. It was not painful. I would collect, I would examine, I would hold them up to the light. When I was about 10, I took a shower, and when my hair was wet, it was like all down, but there were these little hairs that were unruly in the back of my ear. So I pulled from the back of my ear when it came to my scalp. I looked for hairs on the top that were, crinkly or, straight, but I couldn't find any up there. But I feel like if there were, I would definitely have pulled them out if they were on top of my head. But since it was behind my ear, I feel like if there was any bald spot, it was well concealed just because my hair was very long and it was easy to hide. But I don't think, I asked my sister, I was like, did you notice any bald spots? She says, no, I didn't notice anything. I mean, your hair, you had so much hair. So I feel like if there was a little bit missing, we probably didn't notice. I was like, okay, I get it. But yeah, that was how it started. And eventually the pulling from the scalp was like I went from pulling during homework, then pulling until my hair dried. While it was wet, there were these unruly hairs that would stick out. I'll pluck them all out. And then I would until my hair was dry because then I couldn't see them anymore. Once my hair was dry, it was like, I have wavyish hair. So it would, when it was dry, I would cover it. So I would pull when I was walking home from school. Then I would pull when I was, at dinner, at the dinner table. And then I would pull when I was watching TV or when I was eating a snack or when, but it would always be when people weren't around. Like, I deliberately did that. I made sure that nobody was around because I didn't want anybody to tell me not to do it. So I think at that time I knew that I wasn't supposed to be doing that. And, when kids know that they're not supposed to be doing something, they are very secretive about it. So I don't feel like it's painful at all. But when it became like when I was like 12 to 13 was when it's was like middle school. I pulled while I was at school and I noticed that somebody else noticed. Someone else was looking and watching me. And when I pulled it from the back of my ear and placed it on the desk, I saw them turn their head and look at like what I was doing. And I was like, yeah, I don't like this. So at school was when I started pulling my lashes because I would still get that sensation, that fix that I needed. And it was not as obvious as pulling from my scalp. So, and then eventually it started to predominantly be my eyelashes. Then around my late teens was when they all started getting worse. It was like around the end of high school, beginning of college, like it was really bad. I had bandages on my hands all the time. It was, wounds. That was the time where I actually got an infection in the middle finger of my right hand. And I lied to other people about why I was like in the, urgent care. But I did tell the doctor, like, I did this, but I didn't necessarily mean to do it. And it was kind of like the beginning. And when I realized what BFRBs are around the age of, I don't know, 24-ish, that was when things like changed. I started to, look into it. I started to realize that what I did had a name. That was probably the best feeling, was knowing that it had a name. So around my late teens, early 20s is when the hair pulling became something more. I don't know when exactly it started, but eventually I started to consume the eyelashes that I pulled out. And I guess I didn't put it together that it was abnormal until I spoke with my therapist. Now my therapist, the first time you meet your therapist, it's the initial meeting. It's the, hey, how you doing? What is going on? What is going on? What are we going to work on? Okay. So when she asked me, what do you do? I'm like, well, I buy my nails. Okay, is that all you do? No. I also pick my skin. And she's like, oh, okay. Is that all you do? I was like, no. I also pull out my hair. Oh, okay. Is that all you do? No. And then I couldn't get the words out. I could not tell her. And then I think that was when I realized it finally clicked for me. It never clicked for me before. It was always something that I did. It was just something that I did. It wasn't anything, to me, it wasn't a big deal. I was like, oh, it's not a big deal. Like, it's just something I do. But I couldn't tell her. And because I couldn't tell her, I realized that it was abnormal in that moment. And she's like, okay, but, and I said,
Did you know Habit Aware also offers virtual peer coaching? This one-to-one peer-based program will coach you through shifting mindset, practicing healthy strategies, and creating your personal roadmap to recovery. To work with me, Ellen, or Anila, head over to habitaware.com/coaching today.
And it probably took me maybe 15 minutes to finally get the words out, but I did. I said, I take them and I run the root across my lips, and then I put them in my mouth and I bite them, shred them into little pieces, and then I consume them. And it was like, okay, yeah, I know something's going on. And that was the trichotillomania was the first BFRB that I ever discovered. And then the rest were like, oh, nycophagia. Oh, I've had that for since I've had teeth. And I think it's important to note that, awareness is a really big part of, I think that if there was more awareness of this, maybe I would have looked into it more. Maybe I would have sought help a bit sooner. But it also can be a cultural thing, because in Hispanic culture, we wouldn't necessarily believe in mental health services or going to a shrink or going. It wasn't necessarily a thing that was talked about on a regular basis. So once I started to figure out like what BFRBs are, what's going on, then it was my ADHD diagnosis. That was diagnosed really late. That's also a big thing when it comes to hair pulling and skin picking. A lot of people have ADHD. It has been very, it was a roller coaster ride trying to come out as an advocate, because I knew I couldn't just talk about one. I had to talk about all of them. I can't just I have to go all in. If I'm gonna do it, I need to go all in. And I didn't want to talk about everything yet. And then there was somebody posted about their son, and the picture in there was brought me to tears, because I could feel the pain in the picture. I could sense the mom's desperation to help her son, because she didn't know what to do. Every single one of his fingers, down to like that first knuckle from the end of his fingertip, poor kid, was completely raw. Like, it was really bad. And I felt for him. I really did. And I said, all right, I gotta say something. I gotta do something, you know? Because I also have a really soft spot for kids. Working with kids for over 20 years has been eye-opening, but I've also seen and notice when kids start doing that, when kids start going to their head, or they start sucking their thumb. It's a comfort, it's a soothing thing that they do. And I'm like, hey, maybe, why don't we try this? Why don't we try like a chewing necklace? I have one on right now. I have one of my chewing necklaces on right now. It's a Hamsa, and it's actually really cute. It really does help me when it comes to the urge to bite. Now, when you have tension, when you have anxiety, a lot of people carry it in different parts of their bodies. Some people carry it in their neck, shoulders, and some people clench their jaw. That also is something that people do on a regular basis to release that tension. So that's why I think that chewing necklaces for adults should be a regular thing. I don't think that they should be looked at as only something for children. I was one of those kids who would have a pencil and the metal part, or the eraser, was flattened. Like, I would flatten it with my teeth, and people were like, you did that with your teeth? I'm like, yeah. They're like, you have really strong teeth. I'm like, you have no idea. You have no idea. But they'd be like, were you hungry? I'm like, no. I just needed to gnaw. Sometimes you just gotta gnaw. You need to, yeah, just like a dog. A dog needs to like chew on something. I need to chew on something too. When I was figuring out how to stop biting my nails, I was like, I was so desperate that I was like, you know what? I will even wear a cone around my head like a dog if I have to, but there has to be a way to stop. There has to be. So I took drastic measures. I went to extremes. I would stop conversations with people mid-conversation and be like, "Hold on, I need to get my items in my nail care bag. Otherwise, I'm gonna rip this off." And it's just going to be raw and bleeding and all that. And they're like, oh, yeah, please, go ahead, please. And I'd say, yeah, that's what I do. That's what you have to do. You do whatever it is you have to do. I would put on gloves in the summertime, touchscreen gloves in the summertime, in public, in a shop. I was shopping. And I noticed that the cashier was kind of like, she's putting on black gloves. And I was like, I'm not robbing the place, just so you know. I'm not robbing a place. But I use that as an opportunity to say, this is what I have to do to stop biting or to stop scanning. Because the scanning is what makes me go nuts, is when something is off. And I'm like, okay, well, if I put a barrier around my hands to prevent scanning for a place to bite or pick, that is a physical barrier that you can use. And I would use them. I would have gloves in my car. I would have gloves in my backpack. I would have gloves in my purse. I would always wear leggings with pockets in them so that all I have to do is reach to the side and get whatever I needed. Sometimes it would be my lip stuff, so I wouldn't pick my lips. Maybe it would be a nail file. But even on the go, I would look for anything and everything I possibly could. It was easily accessible. Where do I spend the most time? Do I spend the most time in bed? Do I spend the most time at this person's house? Okay, I'm gonna have a nail care little zip bag, little makeup bag with all my nail care items, and I'm gonna put it in my friend's house. I'm gonna put it in my sister's house. I'm gonna put it in at my place of work. I'm gonna put it so that I mean it took a little bit to like get all the items and all the but I remember when I left one of my nail care bags at my at Thanksgiving at my aunt's house and I was like, oh man, oh my gosh, like what am I gonna do? And then I realized I already prepared. I'm so good. I am so good. I already prepared. I already have a spare pouch, zippered pouch with all my nail care items in there with me. And it's not a big deal. I can literally make another one instantaneously. So I think that is what made all the difference in not biting my nails anymore. And I have not been to a nail salon since 2023. So it's been 2 years. I do my own nails. I went from acrylics. Then I graduated to gel. Going from gel to natural, I relapsed. And I kind of disappeared from like my page. Like I didn't post like for a long time because I just felt like I let people down. I let myself down and I realized that it's not about that. It's not about letting yourself down. It's about learning from each and every relapse. You learn something new. Okay, what could I have done maybe a little bit differently? Okay, what was the point in which I took this particular nail off that started this domino effect? What was it? Oh, I was staying up late. I wasn't sleeping enough. Staying up late is unanimous, like every time, bless you. Every time I stay up past my typical time that I go to sleep, always getting the urge. Always getting the urge. And my relationship with my trichotillomania has changed over time. At first, it was like a bestie. At first it was like, hey, like a new friend, right? And I was like, hey, we're hanging out like all the time now, We are peas in a pod. And then things start to get a bit rough, a bit of friction, a little bit of, it's mixed feelings. It's like a tug of war happening in your mind where you want to do it, but then you also don't. I told my family about this, and I told my friends. My best friends didn't know. And I think that's something to keep in mind, is that a lot of times you don't know what the person is going through. You really don't. My best friend was like, how did I not know about this? And I was like, because I was really good at not showing you, and I would cover it up with makeup. I would make sure like my eyeliner was perfection. I can do my eyeliner so well without a lash line. And I learned how to do that, and people don't even notice. We're masters at disguising ourselves, of masking ourselves from having someone notice something different, because we were so afraid of judgment or staring or someone looking at us and maybe tilting their head a little bit. But when you finally gain that start to talk about your BFRB, each and every time you talk about it, I feel like you feel a little bit more free. You feel like you want to just spread your wings or soar even higher. You just feel like the weight isn't there anymore. So that's why I'm so open about talking about BFRBs, even like compulsive nose picking. That is something nobody wants to talk about ever. But I don't mind talking about it. Let's talk about it. Something that stuck with me that I say to myself, I say in my head all the time, you don't have to be perfect to help people.